Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
Time when I was alone, nowhere to go and no place to call home. My only friend was the man in the moon, and even sometimes he would go away too. Then one night as I closed my eyes, I saw a shadow flying high. He came to me with the sweetest smile, told me he wanted to talk for a while. He said, Peter Pan, that's what they call me. I promise that you'll never be lonely. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored, we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. He sprinkled me in pixie dust and told me to believe, believe in him and believe in me. Together we will fly away in a cloud of green to your beautiful destiny. As we soared above the town that never loved me, I realized I finally had a family. Soon enough we reach Neverland, peacefully my feet hit the sand. And ever since that day, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, Wendy, darling, even Captain Hook, you are my perfect storybook. Neverland, I love you so, you are now my home sweet home forever, a lost boy at last. And for always I will sing, I am a lost boy from Neverland, usually hanging out with Peter Pan. And when we're bored we play in the woods, always on the run from Captain Hook. Run, run, lost boy, they say to me, away from all of reality. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free. Neverland is home to lost boys like me, and lost boys like me are free.
Okay, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And today, I am delighted to have a repeat guest, Jennifer Faith West. Hi.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for having me, Ernest. Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. So it's been a little bit since you've been here before. So why don't we kind of recap what your deal is, and then we'll talk about, you know, what you're up to now.
Okay, sure. Ernest, and I've been on your show, I think this is like the third or fourth time
I think
now.
It's the fourth time, yeah.
Yeah. And basically, I am just a local gal who... Yeah, born and raised in Orange County. And unfortunately, at the age of 19, I met... a man who I believed was my knight in shining armor.
Right.
And turned out to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I lived in 22 years of really bad domestic violence. So I, you know, endured that and got through it, and it was a really brutal fight to get free. And I, as I've told Ernest before, domestic violence, if you haven't been in it, it doesn't make any sense to you, and you're like, why would somebody stay in that?
Right, right, yeah.
And for me, and a lot of the people don't understand that it doesn't just involve punching you in the face and that kind of thing. There's so much more to it.
The psychological,
yeah, it's that's actually
dismantling
worse.
Of your
exactly
of your will and person,
all that stuff. So, anyways, the first 7 years, I tell people, and this is the truth, I just stayed because you're in this cycle of violence. It's cyclical. It doesn't happen all the time, and then there's a honeymoon phase, and there's apologies, and everything's gonna be better, and
right,
and then you
right.
work it out, and there's
gee,
this,
honey, I'm sorry,
right, and tension building, and then it happens all over again. So, that first 7 years, I just loved him, and I wanted it to work so bad, and I believed his, you know, promises of mm-hmm. change. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the reason that I stayed is because I was convinced that God was going to forsake me if I got a divorce.
Right.
And
right.
I believed
there is that doctrine.
That's right. So basically, I have Jennifer Faith Ministries, and I reach out to other battered women of faith. Who are enduring kind of that same kind of thinking. And I believe that it's their lies that we believe about ourselves, lies that we believe about God. And I believe that God has kind of commissioned me to tell people that it is never his will for people to be abused. Okay. Abuse is not from God. God is good. He's love. He's light. In him, there is no darkness. It is not his will for anyone to be abused. So out of that, and my story is really hairy, how I got out and everything, and God has just resurrected my life. And now I spend, you know, I work full time as a nurse, but I spend my off time
every other hour.
Yeah, trying to preach this message to women all over the world. Now it's kind of for like a really small thing. I don't know how it's spread, but it has.
For
so.
Just for just a local girl who's yeah. not that big.
I'm not that big, and I'm not rich, and I'm not famous, but for some reason, this message has permeated the globe through different things, and I'm really thankful to be a part of it.
So let's talk about some of the things that you've done to get that message out. So I think when I first met you, you had written a couple of books.
Yeah, those are still out there, and I would encourage everyone to get them, and this is not one of those things where it's like, oh, I help you and then I also get rich. There's like no money in it for me. It's all just, I don't want someone else to live the way I lived.
Right.
So the books that, which can both be found on my blog, which is jenniferfaith.org and also on amazon.com.
Okay.
The first one is 5 Lies Every Battered Woman of Faith Needs to Stop Believing.
Okay, so what's one lie?
One lie is, the first lie is that my husband's abusive behavior continues because I'm not praying hard enough and God is not listening to my prayers. And that message is totally reinforced in a lot of churches unwittingly. It's like, if you just pray harder, you know, God will change everything. But that doesn't take into account that we have a free will. Mm-hmm. And you can choose to do good or evil. And if someone's choosing to perpetrate evil against you, that's not God's fault. That's not because he's not trying to help you.
Right, right.
That's a big one for me. And it makes you despair. It makes you think, wow, God, thanks a lot for leaving me here. When the whole time he's like, no, get out. You're not. I don't want you to be abused. But I believe in this. We've talked about this before, a spiritual battle
right.
between good and evil, and it's, you know, like this lying spirit that tells you have to stay and you have to just pray harder. Another lie, which a lot of people
don't give up all the secrets.
Okay, so yeah, that's that one, and you can literally
the rest of the secrets are in the book.
They're in the book, which can be read in like 30 minutes or less. I purposely made them that way because when you're in trauma,
you don't need
like
a 500 page.
You can't. You can't absorb information, and it's just mind melding. And these abusers, they literally, you think you're crazy,
right?
And then you're not crazy, but in it, you're like, am I crazy? It's crazy making. And the second book is called What Not to Do If You Marry an Abuser: Lessons from the Girl Who Did Everything Wrong. And that's me.
Okay.
And I actually use scripture.
Okay.
To show, you know, how the thinking is wrong. You know, I talk about legalism.
You want to hit us with a scripture? I think this will be the first scripture reading on my show.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't like, you know, quoted or whatever, but I'm talking about, you know, legalism.
Okay.
And like one of them will be, you know, don't just be passive and allow evil to continue, because you have to either overcome evil with good or you will be overcome.
Right.
And for me, I was like the poster child for being overcome with evil because I continued to submit to this behavior that was not good. And then you start covering up for your husband because you're embarrassed and it's humiliating.
There's a shame to it.
Right. And then there, when you're not a liar, that was one of the hardest things for me to wrap my mind around, is that I was being perpetually lied to.
Right.
And so when you're not a liar, you just feel like everybody's telling the truth. And now that I'm out and I look back at some of the whoppers that I believed, I'm smart. I have a college degree.
I was going to say, you know, this happened to everyone. I mean, is anyone subject to it?
Oh, everyone. Yeah, that's the other thing.
There's not
a
demographic slice.
Not at all.
Or
it is not. And you wouldn't believe how many people I meet. I don't meet anybody that hasn't been touched by domestic violence,
okay,
whether themselves or, and they say, oh my gosh, I don't understand. She was an attorney and blah, 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 and so smart. But I'm just telling you, they know how to meld your mind. And, you know, I talk about legalism. And see, there's things in the Bible that can be so misrepresented,
mm-hmm,
and used. One of them, one of the big things that I always heard growing up was God hates divorce. You know, and you hear this from when you're sitting in church.
And women especially.
Right. And you know what? If you look back at the context of that scripture, men in that time were saying, I divorce you, and just getting rid of their wives who had no way of making a living.
Right.
And it was basically a death sentence. Mm. So God was trying to protect the women from being cast aside. But instead, this scripture gets turned around and you're like, oh my gosh, God, I don't want to do something that God hates.
Right.
I need to stay here. And you know what? God hates abuse. You know, he would prefer that marriage has lasted, because marriage is supposed to be a covenant of love, mm-hmm, between two people.
A sacred bond.
Right. And you know what? That whole thing, when it's abuse, is a farce. The holy covenant is not existent when one partner is abusing the other. It's a farce.
So it's not a license to have someone as your, you know, personal slave, basically.
That's right. No, you don't get to just abuse someone because you fooled them at the altar and made lies. You know, I honestly believed when I went to that altar, no one goes to the altar saying, oh, I can't wait to just be terrorized.
Right.
It's going to be so awesome to live in fear and shame. I can't wait. You go thinking, oh my gosh, this person loves me, and I'm going to love them, and we're going to have kids, and all that stuff doesn't end up being true.
Right.
When you marry an abuser. And on the outside, it might look true because you muddle through your life and you do have kids and you do these things.
Yeah, and there's pictures in the photo album.
Exactly. But it's all, oh my gosh, I could tell you story after story of how that's just not true. And God does not call you to submit to evil.
So you're in this hole, in this dungeon of sorts. How did you find your way out?
Well, my big turning point came, 22 years is a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, just don't do that. You know, I talk to these young girls and I'm like, do not be me. But you know what? A lot of times you have to come to it yourself, but hopefully because I've walked through it and I'm not just someone pleading with them like their family.
Right, right.
I'm actually telling them, look, from experience, don't throw away your life on this. It's not worth it. They don't change. But for me, my moment came. I spent Mother's Day 2012 in a shelter, a safe house for battered women, alone.
Okay.
I had to call the police to my house. They didn't help me. My husband turned my kids against me. You know, they were, you know, why are you weaving your web of lies and getting dad thrown in jail? It was just horrible. And he threatened to kill me. And I literally had to run out of my house with my safety bag. And I'm in this shelter on Mother's Day. No one knows the truth of my life. I'm totally not safe at home. I've been living this, you know, facade for 22 years, so overwhelmed with terror. And that was my moment of just reaching out to God and saying, help me. And before that, I was always a Christian through all of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wrapped in legalism, and I totally...
Yeah, the rules.
Yeah, and I thought I just had to earn God's love and favor. I was super jacked up. And in that moment, he just reached out to me, and he told me, you're going to die if you stay. It doesn't have to happen. Just run to me. Run to me. And he brought one particular friend to mind, named Becky, who is my total BFF, surf partner, and spiritual mentor. And at that time, I was isolated from everyone.
Right. That's what I want to touch on is even though you're in a community, you're going to church, you're doing stuff, you've got friends, you're working, you felt isolated.
Oh, totally. My whole life was a lie. I was hiding in secrecy, and I would like literally be at this point in my bed, in my pajamas at 6:30, staring at the ceiling, asking God, how did my life end up like this? Feeling so rejected and abandoned by him, mm-hmm. you know, and it was just awful. But he kept saying, call Becky, call Becky, call Becky. And I hadn't talked to her for a long time because I'd isolated myself. And she was kind of like my weird Holy Spirit friend. That was a little, I don't know about this lady, you know, I really loved her, but she was really full of the Spirit, really.
Okay. So. Further out there, taking the leap of faith, if you will.
Yeah, well, actually, that started with her because I called her. I told her what was going on, and she didn't think badly of me. She just said, you need to come over, and I'm going to pray for you. You need to meet my pastor. And I thought I was going to hear, oh, you know, pray harder, yep. have more faith. And
yep, suck it up.
Right? I met with her pastor named Sumo, and he said, you know what, Jenny? God don't make no junk. You are not junk, and you don't got to die. And that was the beginning of my liberation.
Okay.
Being with people who said, what are you, you can't stay like this. And that's how it began. And it was hard fought. It was 2 years. I mean, getting away from someone that's like, you're not going anywhere. Right. You have no biblical grounds for divorce. You're not getting a divorce. And I'm going to take you down in flames and destroy you and ruin everything that you love and leave you penniless. That was not easy, but God fought for me and I made it.
Okay. All right. You know, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll have more of the Importance of Being show and my very special guest, Jennifer Faith, on KX93.5.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. This is KX93.5, and you're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Jennifer Faith. Hi.
We're friends now, so he has a hard time saying it that way.
Yes, addressing you in formal terms. Mm-hmm. So when we left off, we kind of talked about how you found your way out of someone's personal prison,
right.
Dungeon, basically.
Yeah, and then that after that, my 2 years, I spent 2 years on my face, on my living room rug when I was clawing out of this, mm-hmm. just freaking sobbing.
Right.
And I was raised in a very strict religious way, and I just let all that go.
Right. Okay.
I let it all go.
Okay.
And I had a full-on, real-on relationship conversation with God.
Okay.
And I told him everything. I complained. I told him that I was mad at him.
Yeah.
I asked him why this is happening to me. Right. And instead of being, you can't do that. God, guess what? God can handle it. He can.
He won't break?
No, he's good. And he knows he's good.
Okay.
And he knows he didn't put that on
that's
me.
That's
not from him. And you know, I literally was healed by his presence. And I know that sounds a little ethereal or whatever, but it's the truth. I let all the religiosity go. I just got real with him and with myself. And through his presence, I came to know the truth of who I am. I don't have to strive to earn his love and favor. I'm loved just as I am.
Okay.
You know, and when you're, I was kind of raised in a situation where I was reinforced that I wasn't good enough. And then I go right into 19, to marrying a guy.
Right. That's like, let's okay, just I'll keep take going. Over the
yeah, here, watch you. Yeah, you suck in multiple ways. You come out of that no matter. And people are always like, I never imagined you were going through that. You're so strong.
Right.
Well, I kind of am. God gave me a strong constitution. But on the inside, I was dying.
Okay.
But you don't go around saying that if you're a normal person in society. You don't say, I'm dying inside. You say, how are you? I'm fine. How are you?
Right? Yeah.
And I didn't feel like I could tell the truth to anybody besides my sister.
Okay.
And who is awesome. And when I finally got free, I mean, she suffered a lot because I stayed.
No one was happier than her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She's been amazing. And anyway, so just his presence is kind of what healed me. And then I feel like,
Well, let's break it into pieces, because I think, we talked about the escape, and that's a big thing in and of itself.
Oh, my gosh.
Getting out of that situation.
Yeah.
But that's not the whole journey, right? That's
not at all.
That's not the whole, that's just a small part of the story, right?
Right. Well, there's so many people that leave abuse, but they're still in that same mindset. They haven't received the healing.
Okay.
Okay, and the healing is the part that where I am really, really into.
That's the trick?
It's not even a trick. It's just the medicine. Yeah, it's the medicine,
Poor choice of words.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I understand what you're saying, but it's God's medicine.
Okay.
It is love, and I don't know if we talked about the books, but I don't know if you're okay with me talking about the film.
Yeah.
At this point. But
we've got some time to fill. Yeah, you can talk about anything.
Good. So I made my husband and I, my current husband, Frank, who is awesome. Shout out to Frank, live my life, soulmate. Yeah. Non-abuser.
You mean there can be a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
There, you know what? If you allow true healing to take place,
right?
I believe that anyone, even after what I had gone through, and I was you can attest to this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've seen
hard,
some stages.
Never, ever, ever again. Thank you, God. I got out of that. Never gonna do that again. I'm just gonna dedicate myself to helping other people.
Those men things.
Yeah. Right. And I didn't want to be a man hater because I really like you. There's a lot of good men out there, but not men that are potential people for me, you know what I mean?
right. Not in terms of bringing them home.
Right, exactly. And I just got healed to the point, and God brought someone beautiful into my life, and there is that too. But the healing is so necessary, because if you just get out and you have the same mindset and you still feel unworthy and inadequate and beaten down.
Someone will fill that space.
That's right. And you still feel like God is against you, and that he's a taskmaster, and he's up there looking to check off your sin column. It's like nuts. And if you can get free from all that.
He's an accountant, right? And he's got a green eye shade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a big long white beard and a big lightning bolt. Maurice asked him to smite people, and he doesn't smite people because that's just not who he is. He doesn't go through the program ever. Yeah, he doesn't do that. So anyways, my husband Frank and I made a film called The Journey.
Okay.
And it's basically a metaphorical image of my journey through the healing and freedom process. Mm-hmm. And you've seen it.
I have. It's a very good film.
Yeah, and it's just...
It's very moving.
Yeah, and so that is another part of what I do is not only just have the books, and the film is really crucial. Go ahead.
So in the film... there are things that you had to let go of.
That's correct.
So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, in the journey, I was carrying things around, and many, many people are carrying these things around. Abandonment, rejection, betrayal, regret.
So all the wounds.
Yes.
All of the misfortunes.
Yeah, not just that. And then with the abuse, there's like manipulation and control and domination and all this stuff. And through the process of walking through this process with God.
And in that process, I mean, you come to own those.
Oh, totally.
Burdens.
Yeah, totally. You're carrying them. And none of that is supposed to be yours. You know, God is good and he doesn't want us. He wants to set us free.
Okay.
And I'm always saying this, you know, when Jesus went into the synagogue to read about himself, he unrolled a scroll. And he didn't unroll a scroll and says, I came to make you as righteous as possible and to give you a bunch of rules. He did not say that. He unrolled a scroll and said, I came to bind up broken hearts and set people free from prison and release them from darkness. He came to heal us. It's one of God's primary responsibilities is to heal his people. And there's all these people walking around.
With rules, right? With harsh penalties.
Not with harsh rules, with his love. With love.
Wait, what?
Yes, I know, it's shocking. But that's the truth, and that's the message of the film. Okay. And just through experiencing that love and letting go and knowing I could trust him to give him these things, I got set free.
Do you miss any of those things?
I don't. And you know what? They try to come back in my backpack. They do. We have to continually resist. I have to fight to keep what I say, fight for my deliverance.
Okay.
I do, because there's always going to be that little voice saying, oh, you're not good enough or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fear for me. Like,
it's smaller, but...
I don't want to spoil the movie, but fear was a big one for me.
Okay.
And that will come sneak back in my life because, you know, I lived in terror for 22 years.
Right.
So I literally have a diagnosis of PTSD. Mm-hmm. From that, and I am saying I'm healed from PTSD.
Okay.
I literally believe that I'm working my way through that. I mean, when Frank and I had our first date, which was in Laguna, I literally hyperventilated, cried, and almost barfed in his Lexus. True story. From straight up fear. And those things kind of sneak back, and I say, no, this is who God is. Love. He loves me. I'm his daughter, I'm his beloved, he is good, and you have to fight to keep your deliverance. And that's why we need people around us.
Okay.
I need Becky, I need Shannon, I need Bev, my pod, to come. I call him my dolphin pod.
Your pod.
Yeah, to come around me. And you got to surround yourself. That's the other thing I tell women. When you're going through this, you have to separate your people into your not safe people pile and your safe people pile.
Okay.
Because you will get some bad advice. And if you go to the wrong person who has like a religious spirit, mm-hmm. they're going to tell you.
Push you back into.
Yeah, they're going to say, oh, you know, just pray harder.
Just stay in there.
Right. Like literally, I had someone tell me in my family who knew that this person was going to, had threatened to kill me. Well, did you try counseling? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, hello, you're not getting it. You're okay if I die? That's not cool.
Right.
Those are my not safe people. And they might be like your parents.
Sure.
They might be your sister, whatever. For me, my sister was in my safe people pile. You have to really be careful who you go to, because you don't want to go to people who aren't trustworthy and aren't going to have your back and say the wrong things.
Okay. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being show. And today my guest is Jennifer Faith. And she is talking about healing from domestic violence. And what was that? Your deliverance?
Mm-hmm.
What was
fighting
that?
For your deliverance.
Fighting for your deliverance. So we'll be right back in after a couple of songs.
I could just explain it, if I could only help you, help you understand. Well, I can see that you're hurting. We died like a beast of burden, about to break your back. God only knows that you're human, so what are they trying to do there? Believe me, they don't understand that you have the weight of the world today on your, it's on your back. Heavy load like that's gonna hold you back, gonna track you down. So sad. It's out of the head of your feelings. Got more pain than you can deal with. But ask yourself, how can this last? I know you have the weight of the world today on your, it's on your back. A heavy load like that's gonna hold you back.
All on his own wheel.
Back just barely. So this is KX93.5, and this is the Importance of Being show. I am your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9, and today my wonderful guest is Jennifer Faith, and we've been talking about her. She's been on the show before, and we've had this discussion more than once, but we're exploring her journey out of despair, out of darkness, and abuse. Mm-hmm. And so we don't have a huge amount of time left. So we were going to pick up on, I think we talked about your film, mm-hmm. talked about the books, mm-hmm. talked about some of the messages from that. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so this is it. So we talked about the escape, and we talked about healing. Mm-hmm. But I think the thing that's most powerful to me is the idea that you're sharing your message with other people who may be in this situation. And so how did that happen? How did you, I mean, it's one thing, save yourself. Mm-hmm. But how did you decide that you needed to go back mm-hmm. and pull other people out of darkness?
Well, I wholeheartedly believe that God is never the author of anything that is not good.
Okay.
But we're in a world where there's good and evil. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God wants us to use the things that the enemy has brought for our harm and okay. destruction for good. And I really, truly don't want anyone else to spend 22 years of their life living the way I did. So even when I was in the shelter at the very beginning, I made a decision. I believe that that's when God kind of gave me my commission to do this. Mm-hmm. So that's why I have the blog. It's jenniferfaith.org. You can visit my blog there. And also you can contact me through that, because I'd be more than happy to, you know, email you back. I also, in the books, you can find on my website and also on Amazon. And the film called The Journey is on the blog, and it's also on Roku. If anybody has a Roku, I can't believe it. But anybody with Roku can see the film on the Faith Unveiled Network. And through you, in a weird twist of events. I got connected with the Faith Unveiled Network.
Okay.
And through them, that the film is being broadcast in over 40 countries.
Oh, that's right. I think last time we talked, you were talking about languages.
Yeah, and so we have a Spanish version now, and that is that premiered to an audience of 300 Hispanic women. That was just insane. I mean, 2 minutes in, there's sobs from front to back, left to right. You know, this is really touching a lot of people. But I just felt like I'm not going to let this go to waste. I feel like God is using what I went through to help other people. I think that's his heart, is to for women to not live in abuse. And I want what God wants, because I love him. And so that's why I kind of did this. And we were kind of talking about how, you know, a lot of success is measured in our world of how rich you are, how famous you are. And, you know, I don't get any of that from doing this. You know, I still work a full-time job, and I volunteer my time. And when I have time, and if I meet individual people, I do inner healing work, you know, one-on-one.
You try to do your part.
Right. I try to do my part. And we were kind of talking about how success for me has been measured. And literally, because I'm working so much and I just can't do this full-time, I just pray that God will use it every day for something. And people are texting me and emailing me and letting me know that, you know, someone had been in abuse for 30 years and they read my book and then they decided to leave. That blows my mind.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for, is for someone to be able to find the strength and the courage after 30 years to leave is like unreal to me.
Well, to see the little, you know, pin of light.
Right.
The little pinpoint of light that says, you know, that you're not forsaken.
That's right. Yeah. And then to see them actually take the leap of faith because I did. And I have all these women that are in my life still, and seeing them go through their process. There was one particular one who's just so identical to me. I just couldn't believe it the first time we got together. I'm like, you're like my twin. And she got out. She's remarried to a really wonderful person and totally healed.
Wow.
That's why I'm doing this.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have. It's as usual. It's always a pleasure speaking to you, and so appreciative of your message and your strength and your courage.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So one more time with the blog.
Okay. The blog is jenniferfaith.org. The film is called The Journey. You can find it through my blog. You can find it on Roku and through the Faith Unveiled Network.
Okay.
And also on my Vimeo channel.
Ooh, wow. A Vimeo channel.
I know, right?
And you have the books as well.
Yeah, the books are on Amazon.com. They're also on my blog. And it's Five Lies Every Battered Woman of Faith Needs to Stop Believing, and What Not to Do If You Marry an Abuser, Lessons from the Girl Who Did Everything Wrong.
Okay. Well, thanks again for being on the show. It's always a pleasure for me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. So you've been listening to The Importance of Being show on KX 93.5. Coming up next is Amanda Pointer with The Morning Connection.